Welcome to the Real Life Anisha D.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going?
All is well, my brother. Welcome to my show tonight. It's a pleasure having you on.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. It's a pleasure to be here in the building today.
How's life treating you?
Oh, life is treating me great. Life is treating me great. You know, I can't complain. If I do, ain't nobody listening anyway, you know?
That's
so.
Right. Complaining never solves anything, right?
Not nothing so far. Not in my my years of being here. I ain't seen complaining solve not one thing. So
That's right. Well, you know, tonight, audience, I have a very special guest, and I'll let him tell you a little bit about himself. You know, last week we had music producer Mr. Eric Levers on, and you know, I'm a big fan of music. Anyone who truly knows me know I love music, like all genres, because I played in a band. You know, I can read and write Trevor Clef music. I can just write on Trevor Clef bass, Trevor Clef's whatever. But I got a chance to meet this young man, and one day over music. So Thomas, could you tell us a little about yourself, please?
Sure, no problem. All right, well, first, I'm you know, my name is Thomas Lakey. I'm the CEO of Shake 'Em Up Records. To spell that out for the public and the people, that's the word shake, as in S-H-A-K-E-E-M-U-P Records. So yeah, that's my record company. I'm 40 years of age. I got three boys, a publisher company, several artists on a label, and I'm just out here living life and learning lessons as we go along.
So wouldn't you say life is full of lessons, or just some lessons you live by?
I would say life is full of lessons. Some that we don't even want to learn. You know, they're everywhere, because no such thing as a loss. We know the rest is, it's a lesson. So we take a lot of losses. So I guess that add up to a lot of lessons.
That's what Jay-Z said. A loss isn't a loss, but a lesson.
Amen, sister. I just hope that we learn it from, including myself. I'm not excluded from that learning process.
In my walks of life, you learn something every day. You're never too old to learn something. We learn every day. So I want to get right on into the question. My question number, did you fall in love with pop, jazz, funk, and soul music? Like, what age? Do you recall?
Honestly, I fell in love with music so early. I can't really recall. My mom's favorite artist is JT, which is Jada Taylor to the public, all my blues fans and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. She played a lot of Jada Taylor and soul music, and my dad had an awesome, fantastic record collection, and they played all types of music. And I really didn't consider myself too much a fan of their music, so to say. But when I got in middle school, my life started changing. I watched my brother almost die in front of me. And, you know, I just started to gravitate towards music. I started to understand what the rap artist was saying in the music, and I just started to gravitate to hip hop real, real, real heavy. When I got like maybe 7 or 8 grade year, I knew I was gonna do something. I didn't know quite yet, but I had a real deep burning passion for music, and I used to like the songs that on the albums that other people didn't really gravitate to. You know, like the serious songs. Like, you know, I'll like let somebody, hey, check this song out, and like, you like that? That's not like the song that everybody in the neighborhood run around bumping. Now it's the song that makes you sit down and think. The emotional song.
It's always the side, you know, for the listening audience who is way younger than us. Back then, there was a side A and a side B. And the side B was always the one that was the songs that people slept on, right?
So
yeah,
right.
you know, I wish that the music industry go back to CDs and tapes and stuff. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the streaming service, but I think today's youth never understand the importance of recording a song on the radio. They
Yeah,
don't
you're right about
understand
that.
it. For me, when I talk about music, I remember the first time I fell in love with music. Off the Wall. Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. Till You Get Enough. Michael Jackson. Mama had the record player, and she would put the record on. And you know, of course, me, I never could dance. I can't dance now. Rhythm didn't, you know, it missed me, but intelligence caught me, so I'll take intelligence over.
Okay. Say the rhythm bug kind of miss you a little bit. Huh? You're the only person at the party that ain't got the rhythm and
It
stuff.
missed me all the way. I mean, it just went like it went right on past me, all the way to my cousins and my sisters. So rhythm missed me, but it was always off the wall for me because I'm like, wow. And then you know, when you just watching Michael Jackson moving, he was like everything.
Yes.
You know, like sliding on in Arch Clinton. You know, I'm you know, soul music. Curtis Mayfield.
Right.
Oh yeah. What
Yeah.
question number two, love? What made
Right.
you start your own record?
Honestly, that's a great question. That's a great question. It's kind of different for my journey on me starting my own company is different. I really didn't plan on starting a record company. Honestly, you know, when I was a young artist, I've been doing it since a young age. I just wanted to be a rapper, fall up under somebody who knew the business and, you know, just showed me the way. And, you know, I'm just in the game, just like that. But that wasn't my journey. And my OG, what's up to Studio Wood, Big Theo, he had a record company and a production company in Studio Wood. He took me up under his wing. And he always kind of gave me respect on my intelligence. He's like, hey, young brother, you know, you need to read this and read that. And, you know, just to make sure that I'm not trying to mess over you, you can understand some of this business stuff on your own. So I took him up, you know, upon that. I started reading books and learning things. And, you know, the older I got, the more educated I got. I was doing this since I was 15. So by the age of 19 to 20, he decided to make me vice president of his production company. And we carried on for a few years over there. And a few people was telling me, hey man, you know, you seem like you need to start your own thing. Now, I always heard if you heard something once, you know, that's pretty cool. But if you hear it over and over from different people that really don't even know you from a walk of life, I don't have to take consideration. And I just did that. I took the advice, started my own company, branched away. Still got love for my dog, my OG, who put me in the game and kind of taught me and the ropes to this. And I branched away and made Shake 'Em Up Records, and the rest was history.
You know, I always, you know, me, because I love music and I love the history of music. And I always tell people it's always important to read the fine print in those contracts. Because if you're not, you're signing your life away. And see, what a lot of artists don't realize, for every 100,000 records you sell, you made the record company $10 million. For every 100,000 records you sell, that's 10 million. So just imagine if you sold 5 million records. Guess how
That's
much the record company get?
they get more than artists, put it like that. They get a large chunk of that. And that's that was another when you speaking of that, that was another concept that I was doing the numbers on, and it just made sense. Like if say if it, you know, if it don't make dollars, it don't, you know, make sense. We know the rest. It just made more sense. I kind of knew the things. I was great with people. Me starting my own company, and I looked at that. I took that into consideration. Plus, I trust myself as being a, you know, being a diligent individual. You know, I had to stay close to God as possible through this walk, because it's a dirty road out here, and
Ooh,
I
isn't
want to
it?
make sure I take care of my artists and do the right thing by my people. So I feel that, yeah, I'm the right guy to be leading the ship in this situation.
That's right. Even much when the with the streaming service, it's like, how can you stream over 60 and 70 million streams and you only pay the artist 0.381% of a dollar?
That's no money. It's none at all.
So that means that you're telling me they're making 10 cents per dollar. How a person can live?
It's not really that they can't, honestly. It's like those things, even if you're 100% independent, you're really not seeing basically anything off of those streams right now. No. Y'all don't really want to go into business, the detail in that, but it's a real finicky game, and I just advise everybody for whatever you choose to do. For rule one, make sure you have some type of passion for it, some type of energy, some type of pull towards it, because the road is going to get very, very thick. It's going to get lonely and it's going to get difficult. And I'm not saying that to discourage anybody. I'm saying that to give you forewarning on whatever you pick and choose to do. You have to love it. You have to have some type of passion for it. Or honestly, I don't feel how you will become successful in doing it.
In other words, you must own your own name. Own your own branding, own your own name, because that's where the money is at. The money is in the branding. The money is not in the records anymore. It's in the branding. That's why people use YouTube and Instagram. They brand themselves. You got to brand yourself. And when you're branding yourself, you're bringing your own money. That's just like I worked at a law firm, right? Mm-hmm. And I did marketing for the law firm. And it was all about branding. All about branding. That's where the money is at when you brand, because you're selling yourself and people want to know more. You are very intelligent, interesting young man, and you're very wise. So tell me this, question number three. And I know we kind of touched bases on that, but when you started your record label and your independent record company, has it been hard to, like, you know how sometimes you have backings, like some people like have they had, like, back in the day, J Records, Artist Records, Arista Records and stuff. Bad Boy had he had Clive Davis. You know, they always had somebody backing them. So is it hard not having anyone backing you all up at this moment?
Yeah, pretty much. It's one of the most difficult things that we're gonna have to overcome, period. It's not for the simple, I mean, we don't have backing, but we've been offered. You know, we've had a few offers. I can't name any companies from the city or from around, but we've been presented offers as, you know, handling business as we should. But me and my cousin Nine, which is the kind of the star of the company, the hottest artist on the record label, we decided to just grind it out and stay independent, because the fruit will be even better. I mean, the struggle is going to be real. It's going to be difficult. We have people around us, a good circle of counsel. And that's another thing too, for anybody, you know, keep a nice circle of counsel around you. Be on your king stuff, be on your queen stuff, you know, a circle of counsel, which I will say a spiritual mentor is very necessarily needed, because blessed are those who walk in the counsel of the godly. So for my counselorship, I bounce things off my spiritual mentor if I need be. I don't have yes men in my corner. I have some people that might disagree with me, and I need to find out why you disagree with me, because I know you got love for me and you wish me the best. So just have your nice, healthy circle of counsel around as much as you can with this journey. And that kind of takes the pressure away, so to say, from the struggle of being an entrepreneur and things like that. Because on your dark days and those lonely hours, those people around will encourage you.
That's right.
You know, they will make sure that you don't drop the ball. They will remind you. It sometimes it just take one little thing of motivation. You just got to hold on to it, because I might be lying around or doing something and I might have a lazy day, and I'm just looking for some type of motivation. I gravitate to anything that'll motivate. And I might see a post or see a commercial or get a phone call from somebody, if it motivates me, after that, I move. After that moment, I'm motivated, I move. I try to ride that wave and not just let that good energy go to waste. And that's kind of another tip I could also give people also when things kind of get tough. When you feel encouraged, move, work. When you're exactly. feeling happy, work, do something. Don't watch TV with that energy. Go do something productive with that.
I tell people all the time, my brain doesn't have an off day. It works 24/7. I'm always coming up with creative ideas for my show. I'm grinding. I'm thinking of bigger pictures. And I'm trying to reach the masses. And I thank God that I have a large listening audience, you know, Amen. And I want to expand it, you know, even more. But like you stated before, that it's very important to surround yourself with solid people. I always say I have no circle. My circle is not an oval. You know, I have a solid circle of friends, of sisters, of homeboys that I grew up with that know me and I know them. You know, if I'm on some BS, some bullshit or whatever, they can, hey, baby girl, you tripping right now. Put your head back in the game. My cousin Erica, I always tell people, my cousin Erica is my right hand. Man, you know, everybody got a right hand man. That's my right hand man because that's my cousin. And when I'm having a moment, she say, suck that shit up, suck it up. Nah, we're not gonna do that today. No, this is how it is. You better than that shit. You know, you got it, you got it. You need somebody to grind, like my best friend, Nicole. She encourages me. My sister Tamara and Christy and Carlicia. My girls, they encourage me. Monet, they all encourage me, you know. And then, you know, my friend Bridget and Adrian, you know, they encourage me. They encourage me. Right. You got to have encouragement. And I can't forget my brother Kevin Douglas and Andrews and my boy Art. You know, people, and you got to have a solid amount of people to encourage you. And, you know, if I'm off, what's going on? Are you okay? When I first started this show, I didn't even much want to start a show. Like, I had no idea. I was in a depressed stage. I lost my grandmother, my aunt, and it just everything was just horrible. It was just back to back. I was in a car wreck.
So sorry to hear that.
All in 1 month. You know, I was just in two last month. But my cousin Anicia that lives in Georgia, anyone who knows me know Atlanta is like my second home or whatever. And she was like, well,
ATL.
Yeah, but it's a hot mess. Hot mess Atlanta. But she, more than more, I just, yeah.
Excuse us, Atlanta.
Well,
don't get mad.
They know I tell them that.
I travels and stuff. I want nobody throwing no sticks at me. And like no, I didn't even say that.
That traffic is horrible. Like, it's a hot mess. The traffic is a mess. But you know, it's important that you have people that can uplift you and encourage you and, you know, and help you see the bigger picture. You know, my cousin, I always give my cousin Anicia her props. I was on her show and she says, "You have amazing speaking voice. I think you should do it." I'm like, "I don't know." She said, "No, you should." Yes. And lo and behold, she created this show for me, and I'm going on a year.
Amen.
God is good. I mean, I am grateful for the opportunity. That's why I'm always one of those people who, you know, how some people get on and they forget about everybody else.
Right.
I like to look for people to be on my show who are different, who are outspoken, who have a journey, who have a story. And, you know, the journey of becoming a better you. You know, I always say that if I'm eating steak and lobster, then I want my girls or my boys, I want my people in my inner circle to eat it as well. That's how motivation is. You know, I always tell people, me, this is the type of woman I am. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm a hustler. I'm a motivator. I work hard. I strive to be better. I'm independent. I'm strong. Right. I'm solid. I'm authentic.
Tell
them. I'm all the way around. I mean, I am not like those other people. When I tell you I am who I am, believe me, there's no picture that I'm trying to paint. I'm just speaking about how I am. So if that's how I am, then right, I expect right. anyone that's in my circle to be solid, you know?
Exactly.
That loyalty, it got to be loyalty in the blood.
Yeah, we need each other out here. As my brother on the prayer line, Brother Lede, would say to us, like, the hand can't say to the feet that it don't need it.
Exactly.
And when he make that analogy, he just make an analogy. It's like, if you walk inside your house and you drop a vase on your pinky toe, your whole body at that immediate time, its attention is on that pinky toe. All attention in your body is focused on how can we make that toe feel better. But it's just a little pinky toe. But if it's in danger, if it gets harmed, it understand at that moment of time how important it is. We're all important. We just got to find out how to work together.
It's just
work
like
together, even with the people that you feel that, you know, that is no good. If you're forced to be around somebody, like, hey, if you're in a work situation, I just call that predestined. Hey, man, you're assigned to be around this person. So you on your due diligence, just make God look as good as possible and find a way to work with these people.
There is no such thing. Yeah, there's no such thing as coincidence or accidents. Question number five. If you could work with anyone, past or present, who would it be? Also, when I say that, you can name the top three people if you could work with from the past or the present, who would it be? Your top three.
Ooh. Man, that's a good one.
Just think about it.
I'm gonna have to go.
And why?
Why? I'm gonna say the best for last. So I'm gonna go with like Biggie.
Mm-hmm. Now, why would you want to work with Biggie?
Oh man, as an artist and lyricist, we never could forget. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole world, this man only dropped two albums. He only dropped two albums. And he's considered as one of the greatest MCs of all time. There's a reason for that. If you listen to what he has to say, if you're really in love with, you know, lyrics and art and painting pictures with words, I don't see how he can slip past you.
Well, he said it was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine, Salt and Pepper and Hep D up in the limousine.
You can see his lyrics. I mean, when somebody can write something so vivid and you can see the words,
yeah,
that's how big he was. I mean, the stuff that he rapped about, it was visual. It's like he's turning the television on inside of your mind lyrically. You can see it. You can see it and you can walk through it. You know, I never heard of an artist doing anything that incredible. Second, I will probably have to go with, drum roll, please. Let's go to the West Coast and go back with Tupac Shakur, the late great. You know,
Pac was really from Jersey, so he's really an East Coast rapper that, you know, migrated to the West.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna keep him on the West from the migration then, you know.
Okay.
Pac, I mean, honestly, I don't think I would probably even belong around a young man, but at that time, because just Pac was just out there. You know, no disrespect to Pac, but you know, I don't think I was that rough around the edges, even though I was rough around the edges. But just so many songs that touched me as a youngster, hearing Pac, Dear Mama, songs that I didn't even understand, like how could a rapper even go to this area of music? Rest in peace, Pac. And the other late great, Pimp C, out Texas on.
Yeah.
I love Pimp C. Pimp C is... I never heard nobody dramatize one word. He can give you chills just by saying, just saying one word. The man is, you know, incredible with the words and the way he, and he's another artist that paint pictures with his lyrics also.
They all painted pictures with their lyrics.
Painted some vivid pictures.
Even when you think about like Biggie, he said it was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazines. He said Salt and Pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. He said hanging pictures on the wall. And then he goes on to say every Saturday, rap-a-tat, Mr. Marley Marl. And then you think about Tupac. He says, they say the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. I say the darker the flesh, the deeper the roots. The deeper the roots. And then Pimp C. Because, see, I love music. And, you know, Pimp C was one of those. That was my favorite. You know, I love Bun B, but I always said Pimp C out of UGK, Pimp C was, he was a beast. You know, he says, I love all his music, but, you know, I like One Day You Hear, you know,
and the next day you're gone.
And he was just speaking it. You know, it's like they paint the pictures. Yeah.
Right.
So I feel you on that. And then, you know, I like when he says, he said never. Because, you know, he say like it on top of the covers.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He said, it was Andre 3000 Watts. It was
Big Boy on a dresser, drive a compressor,
top hose, get the most out the lesser,
trash like the fucking $40 in the club.
It gets
fucking
no
up
love.
The game, bitch. It gets no love.
Yeah,
okay?
that's
as straight as 40 as you can get, you know.
He said, I know you hoe ass niggas want to ride, bitch. You know I got the front back
and side to side, daddy.
Yeah.
man. Great. Long live the king. Long live the kings, man. Because I didn't really even take consideration. Everybody I named is gone.
Yeah, they died before they're like Pac died at 25. Big died at 25. Pimp C died at 33. So, yeah.
So the people I really want to work with the most, not even here no more. I guess I need to change my list again.
But everyone has who they would want to work with. You know, if I could actually write, you know, I like to write. So if I ever could work with three artists from the past or even from the present, it would be Whitney Houston, Amy Winehouse, and Michael Jackson.
Well, okay, my question to you. You mind if I ask you a question on your show?
If you can ask me a question, I'll answer.
Why Amy Winehouse? I have to throw that out there because that's a Amy? Very interesting artist to me.
Amy Winehouse, she is the epitome of R&B soul. Because, see, let me tell you why. Everybody thinks soul music has a color. Soul music comes from the soul. And her Back to Black album, when she had, they wanted to try to get me to go to rehab, and I say, no, no, no. And she had, like, a little reggaeton, and then there's, like, a little Aretha Franklin with a little Sam Cooke in there, a little Michael Jackson in her voice. You know, you would really have to listen to her because she was dope. Like, I love dope artists. Like, I was telling Eric when he was on the show, like, when I'm writing, when I'm in the writing mood and when I'm planning and doing analytical on things for my show, I need to listen to old Blue Eyes, right? I'll listen to Frank Sinatra to get me in the mood, right? If I want to write, it's John Coltrane. I like music, you know, like, man, I am a big Nirvana fan. I love Guns N' Roses. I like Bon Jovi. I love country. I'm not one of those people who I can sit here and sing any song in any era if I wanted to because I love music that much. But Amy Winehouse, you know, she died before her time. But her music is everlasting.
Yes. That was a big loss to the music industry. She was a wonderful artist.
A brilliant soul, a tortured soul. But you know one thing I learned? A lot of those singers, great singers, They
Come from
used
great
drugs.
pain.
They was tortured. Yeah, you know, it's a lot of pain. It's a
Yeah.
lot of pain. Question number six. Where do you see your company in 5 years?
Well, I've seen Shake 'Em Up Records in 5 years. I see multiple artists with platinum plaques, maybe a Grammy or two, to hang on a wall to make mom and dad proud. And plenty of other artists maybe get into the small independent movie industry, because I'm dibbling dabbling, doing some stuff over there right now. I don't really want to talk too much about it yet, but maybe have a movie or two out and maybe a play. And definitely two documentaries. Definitely that. Hopefully we can get that out sometime next year. Yeah.
I did a play a couple of years back. I think it was like 2011. It was called Crazy Joe Comes Home, and I was with King's Kid Production. Playwriting is very exceptional. It's very fun. It's a lot of work, but it's good. It's really good, and I'm glad that the world is opening back up because there's a lot of talent in the world who needs the light
Amen.
shined on them. You know, like I said, I'm a very artsy person, so I love the craft of creativity. And the final question of the night, and I want you to think about this. And it can be more than one album, you know. You can tell me why this album was important to you or why it's the soundtrack to your life. If you could pick one album or soundtrack or one album and soundtrack to sum up your life, what would it be?
That's a good question. You come with the good stuff. You should come with the bullets, y'all. All right, T Den. One album, not two or three.
It you I told I
Got
said
me
it can
biting
be
my nails and
multiple.
shit. I'm biting my
No,
nails. Hold on.
it can be multiple. It can be
Be
three albums
multiple.
and a
All right.
soundtrack. Three
All right,
albums
now
and a soundtrack.
I could breathe now. You gave me three. So let me inhale, exhale. Okay, first I'm gonna have to go with Tupac, Me Against the World album.
Tell me why.
That album actually changed my life on understanding what a rapper could be and what a rapper was allowed to speak on. A lot of other I didn't understand what real being real on a record was until I heard Tupac on Me Against the World, because at that time I finally got to see. It's like the curtain was revealed. I could tell, okay, Eazy-E and Dr. Dre and them, even though I like them artists or something like that, that's more of fabrication rap, like Denzel acting in the movie, sniffing cocaine and flying the plane, all that. You know, Denzel ain't on no cocaine and he ain't crashing no plane. I hope he ain't on cocaine. But that's neither here nor there. But that's when I got to separate. The stuff that Pac was saying on All Eyes on Me just was so heavy and so gut-wrenching and just like straight at you. It's not like a lyric. It's not like the metaphors that Biggie was kicking, and it wasn't,
So Me
yeah.
Against the World. So now, and the second album is All Eyes on Me.
Nah, the second album be Scarface, The
Okay,
Die.
because you said about, because you know, All Eyes on Me is not on Me Against the World.
Oh,
Let's see.
well, if I said all, I thought I said Me Against the World. I'm sorry about that. If I said
No,
All
you
Eyes on Me.
could, because I know All Eyes on Me was one of my records.
I meant to say Me Against the World. That album right there is what, that album. Even though All Eyes on Me was, pretty damn dope too. But that's kind of let me see the separation on, like, well, how a rapper can rap, and it's a separation from like kind of just acting like you're a gangster and actually being what you say you're being. And second album would be Mr. Scarface, The Diary. Now
And why the
I
diary?
was because I was too young to understand that album. When it, really dropped, I probably was at elementary school. I don't know. I was very young, so that went over my head. But when I matured and I got older, in a time of, trouble, I started listening to Scarface, and that album was like, I'm like, this album is like maybe 10, I don't even know if it was maybe 10, 15 years old at that time when I heard it. By the time I got on it and understood it, it just was like, wow. I couldn't believe that. I just couldn't believe the stuff that Face was talking about. on that album. I had to go look and see how old he was when he made that album. He was very young when he made that album. I forgot how old he was, but he was young. So The Diary. And third, but not least,
it's like Mr. Scarface went up and down the block. Okay, go ahead. I'm just
you see, last but not least, I'm gonna go with Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt. Mm-hmm. And
why Reasonable Doubt? Out of all Jay-Z albums, why Reasonable Doubt?
Oh man, because honestly, it's I got like a little story behind it. I'm gonna be quick.
No,
I wasn't on Jay-Z. I wasn't on Jay-Z, period. So when he dropped his album, I was on Pac and Cash Money and, you know, P and all them. Mm-hmm. Maybe like in 98 and 99, maybe 2 years later, you know, me starting getting deep into rap, I picked up on it and I heard it. And, you know, I heard about Pac dissing this guy. So all I had was Pac dissing this guy in my mind. But when I heard him, I was like, wow, I did not expect him to be that great. So he kind of like blew me away when Pac dissed someone. I didn't expect him to be good. He dissed legends. He dissed Nas. He dissed Mobb Deep. And he dissed Jigga. These are some great, wonderful artists. So is he. So, and that Reasonable Doubt, it did something to me. It gave me a big mind as a young age. Like, you know, look how big the world is. Jay-Z is another artist that paints some expensive pictures in my mind. I like the luxury rap. You know, the finer things, you know, the stuff he's talking about, designer fabric and Gucci napkins and shit like that. That shit just kind of like, wow, you know, it was real, real cool. And still to this day, I like that, Reasonable Doubt. Shout out Jay-Z.
Well, you know, for me, when I think about the soundtracks and the albums that mimic my life, my first one would be My Life by Mary J. Blige. That album was everything I was going through at that time. Love, trying to find myself, this was like 95, you know. I was in high school. 95, 96, I'm in high school. I'm in love with a boy who so happens to be the drum major, the play basketball, play football. You know, he was like the multitasker, and that was my boyfriend. And then some stuff happened, and you know, I'm from Fifth Ward, so you know, my mouth is slick, and I'm gonna call you on your bull crap. So my life, you know, it was like. And the song on that album that stuck the most with me was Be Happy. Even to this day, it resonates who I am as a woman. She said, right, all I really right. want is to be happy, to find someone that I can be happy with. And you know, she says, life is too short to be trying to play games. It takes time to think about, is it really worth losing me? And a lot of times, people don't realize what they have. The power of the woman or the power of the man that God placed before you. So I dig that album. Rap album, it would have to be All Eyes on Me.
Drum roll. Okay.
And I'll say, and if I gotta pick a song out of that, it'll be two. It'll be Ambitions of a Rider and Life Goes On.
Because, nice, you know, picks, nice picks. I like that.
I people always want to try to test who you are, your intelligence, your brilliance. You know, you will always have haters, you know, and they will right. always try to test you. But, you know, you couldn't, because I'm a rider, you know, and I'll ride out on you. I can lyrically assassinate you with my words and have you refocusing your life. And then Life Goes On, you know, I had lost some family members, and I'm like, dang, you know, I gotta hold my head up high, and you know, and I lost a childhood friend, so you know, yeah. And it's an oldie but goodie for me. Roy Ayers, Everybody Loves the Sunshine. This album has been sampled over a billion times. You know, everybody don't sample this album. From right. Lox to Mary to Diddy to Jigga, you know, J. Cole, everybody on sample this album.
Yeah, everybody.
So, you know, those were the albums that, you know, that so yeah, I go from pop to Mary J. Blige to some classic joint from the 70s. I mean, but right now, where I'm at now is in my life right now is to be happy, and everybody loves the sunshine. So those songs are replays for me, right? Because you're speaking, you're manifesting things. I'm going to be happy with anything and everything in my life. And everybody loves the sunshine. So, you know, you got to, I've been in the rain so much, it's time to enjoy the sun of God, you know?
Amen, sister.
Well, my brother, it was amazing, amazing, amazing having you here on our show. I look forward to bringing you back, hearing some music, your upcoming. You have any upcoming music coming out?
Yes, always, always. All right. For all the listeners out there, you know what I'm saying? Want to thank y'all for listening to this whole time. You can check us out. Our website is Shake 'Em Up Records. That's the word Shake, S-H-A-K-E-E-M-U-P records.com. We have all the artists' albums can be pulled up from their website. You can follow us at Shake 'Em Up Records on IG. We have several artists. We have the whole nine artists, number one artist nine. That's the number nine, the letter I-N-E-T-Y-M-E-S, nine times. That's it's spelled exactly how I just said it. You could check him out. He also has his website with merchandise, gear, hats. You know, please support the community. It's www.ninetimes.com, and you will spell that, the number nine, INETYMES.com. We have merchandise, music, videos, whatever you want. Just keep up with us. And, you know, God bless. Appreciate the support.
All right, my brother. I pray that everything you touch turn platinum. Everything you touch turn platinum.
I claim that.
I wish you the best on your journey. Keep up the good work. If anyone hasn't told you today, I'm proud of you as being a young black man. You're not in the streets.
Thank
you're
you,
doing
queen.
Something good for yourself. You're showing your
Thank
kids.
You,
you're welcome, my brother. You're showing your kids how to go out there and get it the right way. I salute you. And I always tell my guests, may the good Lord bless you going in and going out on your journey. May love and peace and joy be within you. May you be a product of goodness. Blessings, my brother. Until we meet again.
Amen, sister. Blessings, queen. I appreciate your hospitality and your show. God bless all your listeners. Tune in. Y'all keep tuned.
Peace and love.